First Palm Media. You are listening to Mushing on First Palm Media. Visit our website at mushing.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Today we are talking to Lucille Maddalena, and she is calling in from Belmar, New Jersey, and we're talking about her brand new book, Moving On By Harnessing My Sled Dog Team's Instinct to Win. It was recently published here in February of 2024. Lucille, how's it going today?
Oh, it's going very well. I'm so glad to be speaking with you.
Thank you for joining us. Can you do us a favor and tell us briefly who you are and what you're all about, please?
Well, who I am. I am an executive coach. That's my job. That's my career. I'm also a mother. I'm also a writer, and I've been an elected official. I've worked with major corporations primarily most of my life. And I'm a sled dog enthusiast. You know, I wish I was, I'm more of a dilettante. I'm not a professional, but I get out there when I can, or did at one time.
So let's take a step back a little bit. I know the work that included probably a lot of information that's in this book was your academic pursuits. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Well, my doctorate is from Rutgers University in both labor education and human communications. I wanted labor education because I want to work with people who want to be there, who want to earn a living and enjoy their life at the same time and find out what it's all about to get that career going and provide that income for your family. As I was working with people in unions and working with workers all across the U.S., I realized, you know, you can't succeed unless you can communicate. So I took a second major in communications. And what I've been spending my time doing as an executive coach is working with people who want to move up, want to earn more money, want to be more successful, and want to enjoy their time on the job because that's part of their life. You know, we don't live to work, we work to live, and find a way to do it so that you get some gratification out of it, you get some excitement and some fun. So that's my goal, I guess. That's what I've developed over all these years.
And as you probably know, being involved somewhat in the sled dog world, you know that they are almost a perfect metaphor for team dynamics, team building, all of that. I have a pretty good friend and colleague. His name is Chris Fuller, and he wrote a book several years ago called Iditarod Leadership, and he applied a lot of the same principles that I'm sure that you have in your book. He uses the theory of John Maxwell for his leadership style, yeah, and that sort of thing. And he has done some great work with that. So let's jump in and talk a little bit about your book and how it compares to mushing. Let's start on the mushing side first. What is your understanding of sled dog team dynamics?
Well, you know, we call ourselves the driver, but we're at the back of the sled. And it's watching those dogs. It's watching their instincts. It's watching their ears. It's watching their tail, seeing how they're reacting to each other and reacting to the environment. That gives us the information to be the driver, to get out there and issue the commands that are appropriate. So it's two-way. We're symbiotic here. We're working together. We're getting the information from their instincts, and we're using our own instincts to be successful and safe and maximize that experience when you're out there on that sled and you don't quite know where the next turn is, you haven't forgot the map or whatever, to trust that you'll work it together because you're a team. You know, you're functioning together.
Right. And what's important there, I'm sure, is how not only the communication and team dynamics are happening with the human and the dog, but there's also a very interesting interplay between the dogs, say, you know, the leaders with the swing dogs or the swing dogs with the wheel dogs, and that whole dynamic that goes on there. There's a lot of communication happening there. Of course, they cannot speak to each other, but there's a lot of body language. There's a lot of posturing. Right. There's a lot of pushing and shoving, if you will, from, you know, dogs teaching each other how to go from one spot to another. And that is very similar to how teams are built in corporate, in the corporate world, in organizations. There's a lot of that interplay, isn't there?
Absolutely. Oh, it's exactly that way. Of course, it's that way. The human dynamic and the animal dynamic is the same. We work together as teams, and we push and we shove and we seek and we challenge and we reach for further work. I work with a lot of construction people, a lot of construction companies around the world, online and on their sites, and you see it there because they're out in the field and they're there and they're work clothes and they're building and then they're creating and it's the dynamic is there. It's the same dynamic we see with the dogs. Absolutely. In the corporate world, it's a little bit covered. It's a little bit more formal, a little more private, but it's the same dynamic. Fighting for your place and getting yourself heard and being part of the decision making team rather than following someone else. Yes, you're absolutely right. It all flows. And that's why I wanted to put this book together.
Right. And I know that we have a mutual set of colleagues with Nancy and John Molberg. They've been involved with dog mushing for many years. I know John got his start in, I believe, in the early to mid 60s. I have spent several amount of time with him, and what a heck of a guy he is and his family. How did you come to get to know John and Nancy?
It was on the team on a trail. We had our pet dogs, our Malamutes, which my husband hooked up, and we learned all about dead sled dog racing from our local clubs, and we're out on the trail with him, moving nice and slow with the pretty dogs out there. And then we met John and Nancy. And Nancy happened to, and it's written in the book, call me shortly after we met and said that she's pregnant and she is worried about her team staying sharp and she would like someone to run them over the season. I was just floored. She offered me her team, this beautifully trained team, Alaskan dogs, beautiful. It took me a while to say yes, maybe an hour, because I want to say yes right away, but I was floored. This is a very big change from going from our little club team to a team that Nancy Molberg and John Molberg grew and trained. So I did. I took it on. And it was the most exciting time of my life. I even got to race in one race in New Jersey where Susan Butcher and her team came down to the lower 48 and they raced here. And I got to be in the same race that her dogs were in, which was really fantastic. There were 30 teams and the top five dogs were all her teams, of course, but I was number six. So I represented New Jersey. I was really proud of that win.
That is such a cool story. And I have to ask, was this happening before you were involved with graduate school and all that, or after?
After. I think I just had completed my dissertation when we got involved in dog sledding. Yeah, I had completed the dissertation. That was a lot of years of work for the degree, and then a lot of years of learning how to really work with these dogs. But it got me outside. It got me out in the snow. It made us both just appreciate what you can do to keep yourself healthy.
So with that, Lucille, obviously the academic work then led over to your experience with the dogs and the trail. Before that time, were you using any of these metaphors at all, or was this just sort of putting the pieces together?
It was putting the pieces together. It really was the challenge of getting up in the morning at 5 a.m., getting out on the trail and being with people who cared about dogs and physical activities and the environment and health, and then working in the corporate sector in your suit where you're very formal. And finding that blend and slowly bringing some of the verbiage in, slowly being accepted for being this oddball who gets out in the trail and gets all dirty and deals with dog food rather than coming in every day for corporate work. I never worked full time for anyone. I've always had my own business. I started my business right out of graduate school. I was fortunate enough to create this seminar, Transition to Management, that happened to get purchased by several major corporations and was offered around the world for several years. So that set me up my own business, and having my own business gave me the freedom to be able to do what I wanted to do with the dogs.
Very, very interesting topic for sure. And since we are airing this podcast on two separate podcasts, on our Mushing podcast and on our leadership podcast, Peak Experience, we have a lot of crossover of listeners. We have the people that work with dogs every day, the dog mushers and the athletes and whatnot, but also a lot of people that are more on the corporate side of the organizational side that listen as well. So I guess my next question is, if we can talk a little bit about the organizational side of it. When you go in to work with these companies or these organizations and you present yourself as the coach and you mention this concept of team dynamics and communication, how do they take that? Because most people in the world are not familiar with how a sled dog team operates.
Absolutely. When I work in a corporation, I'm coming in as a woman with a degree. I always mention the fact that I'd like to get out and really meet people. And I've had that experience of meeting people from all over the world working with my dogs, with dog sledding. And that sort of reminds them that I don't mind getting dirty. I don't mind going out to a construction site. I don't mind something that's a little bit challenging. Because I've experienced it with by choice, and then I can bring it to the office. This book is written for the people I coach, which are usually a VP in a major corporation, because their job is to be a mentor. Their job is to build their legacy. They have to develop the people below them. So I'm giving them this book. I wrote it for them to be able to develop the people below them, because if they want to move up, they have to have the people below them move up. This is what I do when I coach. I help people to advance in their career. So what I did is I created a sled dog analogy, a little tale from the trail, some silliness that happened dog sledding or at being mentored to learn to dog sled. And after I tell this tale from the trail, I talk about a leadership case study, a real event, something that happened in a major corporation, and show the analogy. There's so much overlap between how we deal with our dogs, how we work with our team, how we develop the camaraderie with our clubs, to what goes on in any organization, a big corporation or a small major firm, minor firm. And that's what the book's about. Moving on by, you know, the on by. Well, most people have never heard the command on by. When they hear that, they get invigorated. They get reminded, yeah, we can get by. We can get by the team in front of us. We can set our own trails. We can succeed where we want to succeed. So it's an inspirational book, and it deals with a lot of the things we need to remind ourselves as we're working our way up.
Which brings up another question on the organizational side. As you know, as a dog musher, you are in the trenches with your team. Every decision that you make can be seen almost immediately with what is happening on the trail or with the team. So it's, you know, it's collaborative in the broadest sense. But often when you're working with your corporate clients, in particular, higher management, like you said, vice presidents, et cetera, often you may not see the efforts of the work. How do you deal with that with your clients? Are they reporting back? Are they given feedback? What's the next portion of the puzzle once you've done your work with the management side of things?
Typically, when I work with a top leader, they will then ask me to start working with the people below them to help them be a better mentor, to help them grow those people. They'll be more able to spot the dogs out of the problem. They'll be able to identify the issues that they have to overcome to be able to put that team together. Then I often bring in other coaches to work on a leadership level with the people who report to them. And that's, again, what's in this book. What we want to do to move up is understand that you are not the only decision maker. You cannot win in isolation. You're part of a team. So being able to elicit the advice of others, to be able to make that connection, to be aware of what the others in the team are thinking and what they want to do, and find a way to succeed and win without stepping on people. Bring them along with you. The more you grow your legacy, the more you develop the people below you, the higher you're going to get in the company. And they know that. And the higher they are, the longer they want to stay in that power. So they want to develop the people below them. That's right. What this is all about right now.
Right. And if we could switch gears and go to the musher side, for example, a lot of that is mentorship as well. I teach dog mushing at two of the local universities here in Alaska, and I have formed my class pretty much on the same basis that you have. You know, we're teaching the humans how to be good dog mushers, and hopefully they take that in the real world when they graduate college, and they're able to apply the principles that we used in the classroom and on the trail to, you know, to use that in their jobs or in the corporate world or whatever. How can the, you know, the musher themselves, the people that are driving dogs, are part of the sled dog world, what would be the best way that they could use the leadership skills or ideals that that they can learn from your book?
Oh, the best way, of course, is to get out and do it. Take the risk. You know, one of the things that I present when I first introduce myself to a client is the fact that risk is necessary. You have to understand how to take risk, because change is hard. When you want to change a routine, when you want to develop somebody into something they've not been doing before, that's change. And people fear change. People don't want to take the risk. Well, when we're out on the trail, there's risk every day. If you're in, especially in your environment, I was in nice, safe environments in Pennsylvania, but in some of the environments, you know that there's a risk. And even in Pennsylvania, you're going to have other animals on the trail and things happen. So there's risk. And understanding how to accept risk and how to lead through risk, and the best way to do that is to talk to others who have been there and done that. So you want mentorship. I had John Mulberg was our mentor. Nancy Mulberg was a mentor. And several other people along the way helped me understand how to stay safe out on that trail, how to understand risk and be able to make change and move my team ahead and keep them an organized unit. So yes, mentorship and what you're doing in the classroom is wonderful. Gosh, I wish I had something like that back then.
Right. And yeah, I think there's just so much crossover there on all sorts of aspects of team development. Like I said, whether it be in the college classroom or in the corporate environment or even out on the trail with, you know, a musher with his protege or his handler, you know, that's teaching the next generation of mushers for his team. Lucille, I know that the book includes a lot of case studies, and one of the best ways to not only coach but also to teach is to provide real world or even story type examples of how processes or concepts or theories can be learned. And obviously that's how case studies are developed. Could you do us a favor and kind of give us one of those stories or one of those cases and how you applied your coaching methodology to help out that potential leader with your philosophy?
Well, I've got to pick one out for you, but I think the first one I will talk about is a group that was kept away and worked off-site and did not have the opportunity to be seen. And they were actually controlled by one man, one manager. And those above that manager had no idea how he was mistreating the group, not giving them information, keeping them isolated. And they called me in, or the the Home Office called me and said, this group is not performing. What's going on? So I visited the site and found that how he was keeping them isolated, they weren't getting information. They weren't developed. There was no training for them. They did one function and that function alone, and they were depressed and they were not doing it well. And of course they weren't performing. People aren't going to perform if there's no valid to it. So I worked in that, and by making them aware, getting them to speak up, showing them how they could stand up and speak for themselves. They didn't have to be nasty about it. They can be firm, and they can show the relationship and why, when they worked together and were able to communicate and make decisions that affected them, they were much more effective. So that's more typical. There are stories in there, there are case studies in there of people who just wanted to earn more money because their family needed it. And they were scared to bring it up. So we talked about how they can do that. But there's one story I really think I'd like to share. And that is comparing the Iditarod to the fact that several drug companies over the years have had issues with people tampering with their drugs. And deaths have occurred. The distribution of drugs is what the Iditarod was all about. Getting the right medication to the right people at the right time. So there's a very interesting analogy there of distribution and of being responsive and understanding where your product is best needed and getting it on site. We try to send drugs to different countries that people definitely need this medication. That's what the Iditarod is all about, getting the right medication to the right people at the right time. I just think that's fascinating.
It is fascinating. And for people that are not sure what Lucille is talking about, back in the mid-20s, there was a diphtheria outbreak in Nome, Alaska, and they had to figure out how to get that medication from one point to the other. And this was way back in the day before roads and even really before airplanes. So they had to figure out how to get it across that wide expanse. And they used a dog team relay to get that there. And it's the story of Balto and Togo. I'm sure that, especially if you have kids, you're very familiar with that story. And there's a lot of debate behind this, Lucille, but most people would agree that the Iditarod pays homage to this Serum Run
That's
event.
Right.
But there's also talk that, you know, it's to honor the sled dog and, you know, the history of Alaska and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of interplay working there. So I guess my last question to sort of come full circle with this is, you've approached this, other way around, the leadership has approached you. They need some type of help. You're able to provide coaching for that. And then hopefully that coaching sort of floods downhill, if you will, or down the trail to meet the needs of the team. Is it effective? Is it effective to the team as a whole, or is there a lot of work to do with leadership and their team? Or, you know, is it symbiotic, if you will?
It is symbiotic, and it's a mentorship. Mentorship is ongoing. Mentorship is caring about someone enough to find the detail, find what that person needs and build that person, giving them the right tools. So it's, yes, it's ongoing. Life doesn't stop. We're never fully informed. We're constant learners. And if someone outgrows their mentor, they should find a new mentor. We all need mentors. We need to be inspired and inspiring. In order to do that, you want to be around people who have been there, done that, or will challenge you to do it, to take that risk, to be able to get out there and see what you can do, see what you can do. The worst thing that can happen is to live to work. Now, you want to be able to enjoy your life. That's why dog sledding is so important for us at that time. It gave us a way to escape, and it gave us the chance to see animals and to be out in nature and to be able to learn, because we learned from these wonderful mentors, and that gave me a grounding in leadership and teamwork. And it's very important for me in this field to share that. I don't know that there's one client of mine who wasn't amazed by the analogy of dog sledding and teamwork and leadership. And I believe it has definitely helped my career be as successful, because the analogies are there. It's the perfect example of how we can work together to get where we want to go. And I call trail markers. There's a point after risk where you go through change, which, as I said, is hard. And then you sort of get on by that problem. And that's where the trail markers are. That's where you get to transform. That's where you get to transition to where you want to go. And I think I've tried to put that into the book. There's one other aspect of the book I'd love to share, if you have just another moment.
Yes, go for it.
While I was writing this book, and I said I was writing it for the people I coach, my grandson was diagnosed with osteogenesis imperfecta 1, which means he has brittle bones. During his second year of life, he broke 5 different bones in his body, including one that put him in a full body cast. A 2-year-old in a full body cast is horrendous. So I'm up at night worrying about him, and I'm writing. And when the book was done, I sent it to my favorite author, Chip Bell, phenomenal author, for him to do a quick read on it. He sent me a note back, and I included his endorsement in the book itself. He said, "This book is filled with joy." I called him up and said, "Chip, I was writing about leadership. I'm not writing about joy." He said, "Yeah, you did. Read the book. Read your own book." I put mindfulness in this book. I put things like getting along, mental health, physical health, because you can't perform well unless you're full. The joy that I saw my grandson live his life, he was suffering, but he still brought joy to us. And that seeped into the book. So I think you'll find it has a bit more to it. I'm so proud of that coming out. But it didn't come out consciously. It came out unconsciously due to the events that was occurring. But isn't that how good things happen? Just by happenstance.
100%. I've been studying leadership for many years. And like you said, there are many facets to leadership, and they can be applied in many different areas of life, whether you have that metaphor of the dog team, or you know, team building in a corporate or construction environment, or all of the things that we talked about, Lucille. Just so many different ways you can apply this to. And that's truly what leadership is about, is understanding your team and being able to pass those lessons along to them in a cohesive way. That's what truly makes a good leader, for sure. So, Lucille, before we tell people how they can get in touch and buy your book and all that, I understand that you're speaking at a sled dog conference or event, the International Sled Dog Racing Association annual meeting and get together. And that's going to be happening later in June of 2024 in Pennsylvania. And we talked about
Rochester, New York.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah,
Rochester, New York.
Yes, put on by the Pennsylvania Sled Dog Club, but in New York. And John and Nancy Bolberg will also be there. What is your thesis, if you will, of your talk there at the conference? What can people expect other than what we've already talked about in the show?
Oh, I think we talked about a lot in the show. Basically, it's how to be inspired and inspiring. Live your life fully. Be inspired by everything you do during the day. You can work and enjoy your work. Find a way to find value with the connections with other people, in the work itself, in the growth that you get. And then be inspiring. Encourage other people to enjoy their lives, to get out and work with dogs, work with animals. Use your instincts. Be natural. Life is short. Be inspired.
That is truly the takeaway, not only for this podcast, but also for that talk. The book is called Moving On By, Harnessing My Sled Dog Team's Instinct to Win, by Lucille Maddalena. I hopefully I didn't mess that up too much. Lucille, it has been a pleasure. We are definitely going to put a link to be able to purchase that book through Amazon. It is available right now as a Kindle version and also a paperback, and we will definitely refer them over there as well. My last question for you is, what is the best way people can contact you to ask questions or to get more insight? Are you on social media?
I am, but the best way is really through the website, because they'll read about the different clients I've worked with. There's a lot of stuff from social media on there, so if they can go to my website, My name is Maddalena, Transitions Management. So it's MTM, Mary Tyler Moore, MTM, MTM Coach, MTMCoach.com.
All right. And we'll definitely put that link over in the show notes as well. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll talk again soon.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.
Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to the sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of the sport, in-depth interviews with the top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.